We began a brand new series last week called Code Breakers. And the series reminded me of a story that I heard about World War II. And many of you may know this story, that during World War II, one of the problems our military was having was trying to communicate important messages and plans to one another without the other armies finding out, without the Japanese, without the German armies finding out about it. And so they were looking for like secret codes that they could send back and forth, but they kept being deciphered. And so they finally came up with a plan. They invited about 29 Navajo Indians to come because their language was so complicated. Their language is an oral language, not written down. And they realized that these Navajo Indians, using their original native language, could actually transcribe and translate and send messages to one another, and the other opposing armies never found out about it. In fact, it was so successful in 1970 that the president gave them the Congressional Medal of Honor, because without them, we might not be sitting here right now. They were a big part of how we won World War II. But I share that story not about the Navajo Indians. I think some people who sit in church think, well, that was good for World War II, but I think it was good for Jesus too. Because Jesus, they say, sometimes they feel like he talks in such code when he taught with people, especially when he used parables. They're like, Jesus was like a code talker, that he said things in such a way that only the inside people could get it. Well, here's the series that we're doing, Code Breakers. We're recognizing and realizing that Jesus never talked in a code trying to keep things from people. In fact, every time he taught in parables, it was more to reveal his truths to people. Now, part of what was going on when he was teaching and walking this earth is he had a lot of people following him. Many were interested in what he had to say. Many were interested in just the salvation that he brought. But there were others that were following him, or maybe we should say would show up at times, and they weren't so interested in everything he had to say. They were curious about the show, but they weren't really curious, or they weren't really interested about following him. And so one of the reasons that Jesus taught in parables, and we know this, that there's anywhere from 30 to 50 in the New Testament, depending on how you classify a parable. But the reason he taught in parables was not to hide and conceal truths from people. It was to get the real listener to lean in. He wanted them to not only lean in their ears, he was trying to get them to open up their hearts in such a way that they would understand and grab hold of the truth that he was teaching. And so this month in our series Code Breakers, we're looking at different parables that Jesus taught. And the reason we're looking at them is so you and I can lean in more with our ears, but with our hearts also. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 16 at a very familiar parable that many, many people have heard before. And here's what it says. So Jesus replied with this story, or you might could put in there, and Jesus replied with this parable. And here's what he taught the listeners. A man prepared a great feast, and he sent out invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." And another still said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and he told his master what they had said. And the Bible says this, and Jesus shared this, and the master was furious. The master was furious, and he said, "You go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town, and you invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported back, "There's still room for more." And so this master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full." Let me say that again. You go out into the hedges, into the byways, the country lanes, and you urge anyone who you find come so that my house will be full. For none of those I had first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Now, if you've read your Bible much, there's sometimes a headline that's put in there just by the human editors that kind of help script the Bible. But this is often called the Great Feast. To make it a little bit more current in our vernacular, I would like to retitle this parable, The Great Party. Because there was this man, that host, that wanted to throw this big party. And because he was at the social level, he was at the economic level that he could pay for a big party, we find out from this story that the people he invited were of the same social class, people that could afford 10 oxen, people that had just gotten married and thrown the big lavish wedding, people that had fields. And so chances are the people invited were people just like himself. And he sent out his invitations. Jesus told the parable. And when the time came for the people to come to the party and the servant went to get them to come, they're like, oh, we're all busy. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to prioritize this. And none of the original invitees came to the party. They all had good excuses. And so the Bible says this, as Jesus told the parable, that the master, the owner, the party giver, the host, was furious. He said, well, we're going to have us a party. And he sent his servant. He said, I want you to go out and you find the people who weren't on my original list. You find the people that no one's expecting me to even ask to invite to my party. Bring the lame, the beggars, the poor. Bring those people that no one thinks should be coming to my party. And when the servant came back and said, Master, I've invited all these people, but we still have more room at the table. We still have more places at the party they can come to. The master said, then go further. Go out beyond the city gates. Go out over there. Go further over there. Go places that we never even dreamed of going. And I want you to bring back people because I want my house full for the party. I want everybody to be here. And by the way, those folks that I originally invited, the ones that turned me down that have an excuse, they won't even taste a morsel from my party. And so Jesus tells this parable. And again, the purpose of this parable, like any other parable, was not to hide things from people. It was to reveal truth to them. And the truth that Jesus was trying to reveal is his kingdom, his party, is for everyone. Is his invitation to follow him is not just for a select few. It is for all people. And he was trying to get all those that were listening, those who haven't yet chosen to follow him, or those that thought they were special and they were the only ones getting an invitation to the party. He was trying to convey the truth that his party, his kingdom, his salvation is for all people. Now, one of the things about parables, anytime you study them, whether it's this one or the other ones that we'll look at the rest of the month, you can often learn some more deeper truth when you dig a little bit deeper into the actual characters. Because many times it's the characters in the story that represent an actual real person today that we can find the real life application. And so what I'd like to do today is take a little bit deeper look into some of the characters. If you have your notes, you can begin taking notes at this point as we look at it. But the character I want to look at first is the host of the party. The host of the party, as we are trying to apply this to our life, as Jesus taught his people, the host would be God himself. And from this host, from this parable, we can learn some truths, some deeper ideas about God. And here's the first one if you're taking notes. A good host plans an amazing party. If God is the host, a good host, God, plans an amazing party. You know, I told you that the original language when Jesus taught it said it was a great feast. It's really interesting if you look at this phrase, great feast, it is found throughout Scripture. In fact, one of the places I love reading about it the most is in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus says this, and I say unto you that many will come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. See, the Bible lets us know that one day we will be in heaven and there will be a party like we've never seen before, this great feast. And so if you can imagine, we'll be have this large, gigantic table that all the people are coming to the party. And you look to your right and there's Abraham. You look to your left, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's David. Think of all the biblical characters that you wish you could meet one day. And then you look across the table or maybe right next to you and there's your mom or your dad. There's a deceased brother. There's someone that you love deeply that has already gone to be with Jesus. We will have this reunion in heaven. It will be the most amazing reunion we can ever imagine. We can imagine it is all of our family members, all of our friends that we have lost. It is all those characters we read about in Scripture, those heroes that we want to meet face to face. And we'll all be sitting around the table. I can imagine this. And we're just kind of chit-chatting before the party starts and kind of talking. Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you for a while. Moses, it's you. I've always wanted to meet you. And all of a sudden we hear this ding, cling, cling. And someone announces, the host has arrived. And we all look up and Jesus walks into the room. And we all stand in honor. Now, where's this? I'm just imagining what it's going to be like at this great feast. Okay, so don't go trying to look this up. But we all just stand in honor. Or maybe we don't stand in honor. Maybe we bow in honor. And as Jesus sits down at the table, there's this formality because Jesus himself is there. He's the teacher, the master, the Messiah. And we're all sitting kind of formal. And I can imagine Jesus looking across the table at me and you and our family and Moses and Jacob and all these people. And he says, relax. It's a party. And we're family. I cannot in my mind imagine a more amazing moment as that right there. Because this is a feast. And so as Jesus is telling this parable, he is giving us foreshadowing. There will be a feast like that one day, and we can ride into it what it's going to look like, and we will experience what it's going to look like, but it will be amazing. But here's what we need to understand, that the feast is not something, the party is not something we have to wait till heaven one day. The scripture says this, the party is actually happening right now. Because throughout New Testament, Jesus described the kingdom of heaven is upon you. In other words, we don't have to wait till then to start the party. That's going to be an amazing piece of the party, but the party has started now. Jesus is with us. One of my life verses that you've heard me share many, many times is John 10:10. God, Jesus has come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And so the feast has already begun. And so we need to understand this, that the host who is God in the parable and in real life, he has taken care of all the details of this amazing party. In other words, we don't have to do anything to get ready for it. Have you ever been invited to someone's house for a dinner or someone's house for a party? And you get there and you think to yourself, did they not know we were coming? I mean, like dinner's not ready, so you're waiting around for dinner. You're looking in the kitchen. It looks like they haven't even cleaned the kitchen. It's like, did you know that I was coming? Shouldn't you have taken care of it? And you feel like you need to get up and kind of help get things ready. That's not the most enjoyable party to come to. In fact, next Sunday, we're having our next steps. So for those that are new to the church, they want to know more about what it means to be a part of the church. Denise and I are hosting Next Steps dinner at our house. And we have about 24 people coming that have been visiting our church, and we can't wait. And I send out the invitations. Most of them responded, can I bring anything? As the host of the party, it was my pleasure to say, no. I didn't tell them, no, Denise is doing everything. I just said, no, just come yourself. You don't have to worry about it at all. But we are the host, and we are taking care of all the details. Listen to me, church. God is taking care of all the details of our party. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 6. Paul wrote this. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so many times we think we need to work and we need to impress God and we need to make him think we're okay to come to the party, that he's right to invite us. And he's just going, hey, I'm the host of this party and I didn't invite you because of what you can bring. I didn't invite you because of what you can do. I didn't even invite you because how you've behaved in the past or what I expect of you tomorrow. He's just going, I'm the host of the party. I've taken care of all the details, including what's going to happen when you're there, but also including why I invited you. And so we are part of the party because we have an amazing host. And the host is putting together this amazing, amazing party. So that's one thing we can learn about the host. He's taking care of the details. This host, that he's planning this amazing party for us. But here's the second thing if you're writing down. A good host wants everyone to attend. A good host wants everyone to attend. As I study the parable, it seems so interesting, kind of not expected, that when the servant came back and said, hey, I went and the people all had good excuses, but they can't come. I'm really amazed or maybe taken aback by Jesus' response. And his response was, or the host's response was, he was furious that they weren't coming. Let me give you a little background. Historically, at parties at this time, there would have been two invitations that would have been sent out. Several months earlier, when the host was planning the party, he would have sent messages to all those who were invited, hey, get ready, the party's coming. It would almost be like what we might consider a save the date opportunity right now. So that would have been sent out several months ago. So all those that had received an invitation would have already circled it on their calendar and made preparations to be there. And then, historically at these type of parties or dinner feasts, and the time came for the actual party, then the host would have sent the servant out and he would have knocked on the door and going, okay, the party's ready, come on, come on. So reality, the people already knew the party was coming. They should have already been making plans in their own life to be there. But they wouldn't know when to come until the knock on the door said, okay, come on, it's time to go to the party. And so here's what's going theologically. That was historically as far as that party goes. Let me explain theologically what's happening. Since the beginning of time, God has always had what we refer to many times called his chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. And God has set forth in time that they would always be invited to the party. And it was planned throughout the Old Testament. So the New Testament, Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is who they had been waiting for to rescue them. Jesus was the Savior. But when Jesus entered the scene, there were some that looked at him going, that can't be the Messiah. He was born in a manger. We expect him to come in as a king with the royalty all around him, and that would set us up. And so there were many in the Jewish, especially the many of the Jewish religious leaders, had rejected him. They were showing up to listen to him. They were showing up for the show, but they weren't showing up to truly follow him. And so here, as the scripture and theology comes bigger and larger, here's what happens. God's going, okay, this has been my plan at the beginning, so let me go ahead and unfold plan B, part two of this whole plan. Jesus is not coming just for the Jewish people. Jesus is coming for what we refer to in the New Testament, the Gentile people too. Let me just simplify this, okay? Basically, the parable is being said and being shown and being communicated to say that Jesus came for all people. That the invitation wasn't just for a select few. The invitation, because the host, meaning God, wants everyone to attend. Now, as I kind of give that historical, that theological background, here's what we can pretty much rest in right here. Like, we don't separate ourselves so much the Jews and the Gentiles. If you come to any church right here, right now, you're kind of going, no, that's, we understand that. We all get to come. We're glad, because really, probably the majority of us in here are the Gentiles, so we're glad that everybody gets involved. So yeah, it's the Jews and the Gentiles, right? So no big deal. We're kind of doing this thing right. Are we? Not separating ourselves from the Jews and the Gentiles. But many times we begin to distinguish ourselves from us and them. We want everybody to come into the kingdom. We want everybody to be invited to the party as long as they look like us. As long as they think everything we think. As long as they're part of our own personal political opinion. As long as they live on this side of the tracks and not that side of the tracks. You with me? Now, we never say it out loud, but we can fall into this trap that we want everybody to come to our little party of Jesus as long as they're like me. But remember what the parable said. The man was furious. The host was furious. He goes, so they're not going to come? He goes, then servant, you go out there and you go get the lame and the blind and the poor. Here's what he was saying. Go get the broken people, the people not like those people, and you get them to this party. And here's what God is saying to us. And wants us to understand about him, that his party, the kingdom of heaven, the followers of Jesus, salvation, both on this earth and in heaven one day, it is a party for all people, and that we should be open and we should be welcoming and we should be inviting the broken people. And you know why we should be inviting broken people? Because guess who we are? The broken people. Do me a favor and look at somebody and say, I got some bad news for you. You're broken. Okay, just remind them that they're broken. Now, here's why that's important. It's because sometimes, especially if we've been following Jesus for many years of our life, we forget how broken we are. Because we become conditioned, we become discipled, and we look a lot better today than we did 20 years ago in our walk. And so all of a sudden our walk says, well, I want those around me that walk like I walk. I want those around me that believe in the Bible exactly like I believe in the Bible. I want those around me that carry themselves spiritually like I carry myself. Because if you look like me, it makes me feel better about me. But Jesus came on the scene. He's trying to explain who the host is. He's trying to say, here's God. God wants the broken people here because we're all broken. He wants everyone to attend. Notice excuses that the original people gave. We're busy. I got to take care of my oxen. I got to go take care of my new wife. I got to take care of my new husband. I got to go take care of the new fields. There is nothing wrong with those things that they needed to do. To put priority on relationships, that's good. I hope every one of you had priority on your relationships. To take care of an investment like a field, that's a pretty wise thing. Jesus wants us to be wise with our finances. For the new purchases, the new oxen, that's his future. I mean, reality is back in those days, if you owned a field, you probably needed two oxen to plow it. The fact that he had five more pairs of oxen showed that he had more money than most of us. But he was taking care of his future investments. He was taking care of maybe his family's future. Nothing wrong with that. But when those priorities, when our busyness, when the things that we're involved in become more important than the kingdom of God, we've got things out of whack. Notice Jesus didn't, the host didn't say, oh, wow. Well, then I think I'll start the party a little bit later. Give them time to do that. No, he goes, I'm furious. He said, it's my timing, my invitation, my party, and I want you all to come. But it's my invitation. You have to come on my terms. Many times when I'm talking to someone who's not a follower of Jesus, they say things like, so really Jesus is the only way? Isn't that a little judgmental of you Christians? Isn't that a little exclusive of you Christians? Or maybe inclusive, you just want kind of your own little party there? And here's what I always try to communicate. It's not judgmental or it's not exclusive because the invitation is to all. We just don't get to create the invitation that we want. We don't get to put on there the where, how, when, and what time. The host determines that. But may it never be said about the host, our holy God, that he is excluding people. His invitation is to all people. Not those who have attained a status to get the invite, but the broken and the lame and the poor, the blind, the ones that live here and the ones that live over there and the ones that live way over there. The invitation is to all people. Let me give you another thing about the host. Third point, if you're writing down, a good host has a deadline for accepting the invitation. A good host has the deadline for accepting the invitation. Look with me again at Luke chapter 14, verse 24. It says this, at the very end of the parable, the host responds, for none of those I invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. Oh, the host does. He's mean. He doesn't want to. No. The host gave them the invitation first. It was a wide open invitation. Here's what we need to understand. As those listening to Jesus and the other character in this story are the ones that are receiving the invitations, right? It's the ones receiving the invitations represents an individual who has not yet decided, committed themselves to following Christ. And here's what we need to understand. There's a deadline on the invitation. So if you're watching online and you're here in this room and you know the stories in your head about Jesus and you know the right thing, but you are kind of like the first invitees that you've just had other priorities. You'll get around to it when the kids are older. You'll get around to it once the business is established. You'll get around to it when life is not so busy because there's just other things you're focusing on right now. Here's what we have to understand, that God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The invitation's there. But we don't get to fill in, like I said earlier, the when. The time is now. There is a deadline to the invitation. The Bible says in Revelation that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And you're going, so are you telling me at some point, Keith, Jesus will quit knocking? He'll quit inviting? That's a God question. I don't understand all that, but here's what I do know. That our ears can get so weary of listening that the knocking's going on, but we no longer hear. that our hearts become so hardened with our busyness, our hearts become so hardened with our priorities, our hearts become so hardened with everything around us that the knocking could be going on, but our ears and our hearts no longer hear to respond. Because Jesus told this parable to give us clarity. And the host, who is God, is the one who said, and they won't even get a taste. There is a deadline. We don't end this world going, okay, you know, God loves everybody, so everybody come on in. The invitation is there for all, but we have to respond to the invitation. And so Jesus taught in parables not to hide things from people. He taught in parables to give clarity to what he was saying, to give clarity to the truth. And the reason that Jesus taught this parable is he's trying to announce to the world, I am here for all people. I am here to welcome anyone. The broken, the lame, the poor. It's just anybody. You don't have to have a resume to get to Jesus. You don't have to have this perfect background. If you're like, okay, I think I want to come to Jesus, but let me go next week, kind of get my life more together. I got news for you. Work really hard next week. Your life is still not together enough. Okay, do me a favor. Look at somebody going, remember, you're broken. Okay, you're broken. We're all broken. We're not pointing fingers. Like, we're all broken. We don't have enough together to make it happen. And so Jesus told this story not as a way to say, ooh, look at me. I'm the power trip here. I'll tell you what's up. He told this story to invite people to him. And so parables are designed to get us to lean in with our ears and to lean in with our hearts. So as we wrap up, let me give you just two takeaways here. And here's the first takeaway. The first takeaway says this, that we should, or the question takeaway, have you accepted the invitation? Remember, this parable is to the people out there listening that accept the invite. So you have to ask the question, have you accepted the invitation? But there's really a third character in this that we need to remember. There are those that got the original invitations to be invited to the kingdom. There's the host, but there's the servant. The servant that was sent out to invite people. Remember I told you historically how it worked, that there had already been a save the date RSVP or a save the date early on, and that this would have been announced and people should have circled the date. And so then it got time for the party, and the scripture, the parable says, and the master looked at the servant and said, go invite them. Watch this. Without the servant, there's no party. Because if the servant would look to the master going, oh, I don't think I want to. I'm just going to sit back here and watch TV. I'm going to go play some golf. I've got some friends and I'm not going to go invite. The invitation announcing the wedding would never been given out. So the servant who is taking the invitations has a vital part of this whole story. In fact, if you go back to the original Greek, when it says he told them to go invite those people, that word invite, is the connotation is not this simple, sweet, nice invitation. It's not this connotation that says, okay, go knock on their door and say, pretty please, do you want to come? The connotation of this word invite, when the master told his servant, go invite them, it means this, go urge them, go push them. Go pull them. Basically, go do whatever it takes to get them here. And so the servant plays a vital role in the party. Because if he doesn't do what the master says, then they don't even know the party's about to start. Are you seeing where I'm going with this, church? Do you know who the servant is in this story? If you're a follower of Jesus, that's you. If you've committed your life to Jesus and you're like, I'm part of the party already, God expects you and expects me to be a part of the process, be a part of the plan of inviting people to the party. In fact, that second point there on your takeaway is a question for you. Are you inviting people to the party? You know, we started this year going, invite is a key word that we're using, right? We're just trying to remind ourselves, invite. And I love hearing the stories of people inviting different people to come with them. But maybe we picked the wrong word. Maybe this should not be the year of invite. this should be the year of bring. Maybe this should be the year of drag. Maybe this should be the word of push. We would be more biblically correct. Now, push and drag doesn't seem very well, so we're probably not going to change that. But think about this, invite versus bring. Invite means you ought to go. Bring means I'll pick you up. One is passive and one is active. In fact, it's really interesting. If you go back to that parable, here's what the master says. When he looked at his servant, he said, go quickly and get him here. Go quickly means, you know how we interpret that today? Do it now. We're not waiting until next Easter so we can do a big day. You can invite people. Not next Christmas, high attendance Sunday that churches around the world are used to. It is today. It is tomorrow. It is the next day. It is our job. God has called us, but he's more than called us. He is telling us, he is commanding us that we need to be a part. If he's throwing this party and his party, the host wants everyone to be there, he says, and do your part to make sure everyone that can get there can get there. You don't look at them because they're broken. You don't look at them because they live on that side of the street. If they are a creation of God, created in his image, he says, go get them to the party. So church, what role are you playing in the parable of the party? Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. God, thanks that this parable in my mind as I prepared this week, it's just one that many, many of us have heard probably a number of times throughout our lives. And Father, so in this moment of a parable that we're familiar with, would you reawaken us to it? Would you bring it to life? Would you more than just bring it to life and we understand it, God, may you bring it to life in how we live it out. Father, thank you that you're the ultimate host and that you invite all of us to your party. What a good, gracious God you are. Thank you for that. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, for anyone in here that's never accepted the invitation, today, this moment might be the day. If that's you, all you have to do is just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. I commit my life to you. And the Bible says that is your acceptance of the invitation. And you can pray that right there where you are. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I need you. I commit my life to you to follow you. So Father, thank you for your word. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.